Why don't you turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and then 1 Timothy, chapter 3 and 16. Luke, chapter 2. You got to say amen. Verse number 8. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards man. And you can say amen to the reading of God's word. 2 Timothy, or 1 Timothy rather, 3 and 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. The Lord would help me. I want to preach to you about that sign. Actually, proof. The angel said, if you're seeking proof, go find the baby. If you're seeking proof, go find the baby. The inspired writers nowhere undertake to explain to us anything about this mystery. All it offers us is revelation. All it offers us is words from a man. But it's God speaking to man. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Anybody say amen?
Amen?
To understand this revelation, you may never understand the mystery of the Godhead, but the revelation that is given to us is the greatest revelation of all, that a divine being would come down to become man. In the terms of theology, it's called the incarnation. The birth of Christ, Christmas, amen. There is nothing more marvelous in all the realm of revelation than this revelation of Jesus Christ coming into the world. The incarnation of Jesus Christ, God becoming flesh. The inspired writer says it truly when he says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. You see, it starts with rebellion, and it carries on to a fall, and it carries on into the sinful state of man. And that state begins to widen a gulf between God and man. And the gulf becomes so wide that man can never close the chasm. It becomes a hopeless condition. So hopeless that the Bible will say it this way, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none good, no, not one. That's hopelessness. That's helplessness. That's on man's side. All have sinned. That's on man's side. There's none good, no, not one. That's on man's side. God ever remains the same, holy, pristine in His holiness, powerful in His might, unaging in His condition, wise beyond the words of man, But man continues to go until there is a gulf so wide that man cannot ever bridge it. He is hopelessly on one side of the chasm, and God is there on the other. How to reach God? Job said it this way. He said, "Oh, that I might know where to find him." It's been the search of man's heart looking for God. No matter where you go, no matter what language you speak, no matter the shade of your skin, man has always searched for God. That's why they ended up worshiping so many idols, cutting out totem poles, cutting out statues, making gold, silver, stone, anything they could figure out to make some sort of image of God. Man searching for God is man's hunger for religion. Amen. For religion is that word that means to be bound back to God. He wanted back with God, but he could not. And as it is stated, that there has to come into existence a mediator. Someone has to come who can understand both sides. Somebody must come that understands that world and its holiness, and this world and its misery. Somebody must come that is both man and God. Somebody must bridge the distance, close the gap, pull two worlds back together that sin had separated. And that divine wisdom, that precious divine wisdom, never rose to higher heights than it did when it stooped to the deepest depths of compassion and love. Boy, it says in John 3:16 that God so loved the world. We love him because he first loved us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You see, God initiated this reconciliation, for God was in Christ reconciling the world back to himself. Is this all right with you tonight?
Yes, sir.
It's just an old Christmas story, and I know it's old. It don't have any jingle bells in it. Don't have no lights flashing. It's just humanity in a bad shape, and a God yearningly leaning over the banisters of heaven, wanting to pull them back towards him. It's just an old Christmas story. It's not about stockings hung on a mantle. It's not about tinsel and ribbons and all these other things. But it is about a story. A story that needs to be told over and over again. It's a story about man's plight and God's answer. It's a story about how God figured it out. And one man said it this way. He said, God taught it, Jesus wrought it, and the Holy Ghost brought it. And that's the story of the Godhead. God taught it, Jesus wrought it, the Holy Ghost brought it. And it's still the best Christmas you'll ever have if you spend it in his presence. You see, here it is, this compassionate love that wants to solve sin's problem. Rescuing man from his fallen condition. How do you go about rescuing somebody who don't want to be rescued? Oh, you remember when you were in sin, how that sin allured you, how that sin brought you down, how that sin finally shackled you, yoked you, made you a prisoner? Oh, sure you should. For that's the state of a fallen man. How to restore him back to holiness. How to restore him back to communion with his Maker. That is the great work of God. And it starts on Christmas. Can anyone say amen?
Amen.
God found it necessary to offer us a Redeemer. So human that he could sympathize with man, and so divine that he could save him. So we had to have somebody who could sympathize with our plight, but not become like us. Amen. Not sinful, but someone who could come into this world and remain sinless.
Right.
And uphold God's holiness. God had created men, but God had never been a man. God had seen men toil, but God had never blistered his hands with hard work. God had seen men weep, but God had never shed a tear. He had seen men struggling in the midst of temptation, but he had never been struggling. He had never felt the onslaught of temptation. He had seen men bleed, but he had never bled. He had seen men, the millions, struggling on the very verge of the grave and finally sinking into its hopeless death, but he had never felt the cold grip of death, of the sepulchre. He determined that because it was necessary in the discovery and the opening of the way of the loss of the sinful race to return, he wanted them back to purity. He wanted them to have peace. He wanted them to have fellowship with himself. God did not come to give us a cheap religion. God come to give us heartfelt salvation. And there's a world of difference between people who know about God and people who have experienced God. Can I get an amen? You see, God wants us to come back to purity, all the way back to purity. All the peace that we can hold in our hearts and all the fellowship that we desire. And there is where Christmas comes in. To come into this world, to take the weight of humanity upon himself, to walk its rugged paths, to carry its heavy burdens, to know its deep sorrow and the heartbreaking griefs, to meet and to conquer the tempter and destroyer, to suffer and die among his outcasts and criminals, to lie down in the house of death, and then to rise with majesty and rend the gates of the tomb asunder so that he can open the way for the redeemed to come back home when life is over. Oh, Christmas is sure a whole lot more than a size too small or a size too large. We're waiting in return line because we don't like what we got. Hallelujah. The wisdom of the incarnation is seen when we remember how difficult it is for a finite to grasp the infinite, for the earthly to comprehend the heavenly, for the sinful to approach the holy. It's hard for us to fix our thoughts on God, who is a spirit, when we try to get and solve everything because we want him to be like us. God is not like us. God has no desire to sin. Never has, never will. God is so different than us. He doesn't have a weakness. There's no place for the devil to tempt him. He is pure. Not an unholy thought ever crossed God's mind. God cannot lie. Well, that separates him a gulf away from us just right there. But there we are, struggling, trying to understand this eternal being who is eternal in his existence, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, always knowing, always has the power to figure it out and to answer it and to fix it. There's never been a problem too hard for him. Amen. So we are poor humans. And in our intellect, we stagger. We stagger when it comes to gripping God. I have, for 47 years, pretty soon, I have studied this Bible. And for 45 years, I have preached this gospel. And I still stagger at the thought of God. In fact, I avoid the subject as much as I can because I feel so incompetent to explain God. But I believe him. Amen. We do not know where to begin or how to proceed or where to leave off. The wings of our imagination grow weary, the brain dizzy, and while our heart hungers to have Him, and we pray every day for more of Him, and we want to see Him some bright day, yet we don't know what to do with Him. Job said it in his language the best. Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? It is as high as the heavens. What canst thou do? Deeper than hell, what canst thou know? The measure thereof is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. Job, you are absolutely right. Amen, Brother Job. How can we find out God? Well, here it is. Think of the babe of Bethlehem. The angel said, you want to understand this mystery? You want to know what all the excitement of heaven is? I'm going to give you a sign. You'll find the babe in the manger wrapped in swaddling clothes, and that's all I'm telling you. That's all I'm allowed to tell you. His name is Jesus, but that's your sign. To the shepherds, he said, go find him, and when you found him, you found the answer. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
There it is right there. Men, wise men still worship him. In infancy, laying in a manger, the true object of worship. Nowhere is there a rebuke when those sages from the east came and bowed their knee. No, there was no rebuke when those humble shepherds stumbled in and on bended knees worshiped that babe. Heaven did not rebuke them. How could they rebuke them? Emmanuel was now on earth. Worship him. Christmas is not a holiday. Christmas is a holy day. Worship him. It's not about trees and presents and how much money we spend and how much money we can't spend. It's all about, all he wants is your knees on the carpet, your hands in the air, and your heart loving him. And that's the best Christmas God can ever bless. You see, there he is, right there. He stands amidst, in his young days, in the midst of doctors and priests of the law. And they listen to his wisdom. He confounds them. He is yet a youth. But then watch him grow. And he goes down to the River Jordan, stands next to John, that wild-looking man, and says to John, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Watch him. It thrills us to see him go up the mountainside and to look with awe upon the temptation. Here is the second Adam meeting the foe that had destroyed the first Adam. Here is God's conqueror, and he meets the foe of the century and brings him to naught just with his word. He doesn't struggle with him. He just reminds him that he has no part of him and that he is going to Calvary, and there he will redeem the world. Amen. For the Satan offered him a world without Calvary, and Jesus turned it down. As David said, I will not sacrifice that which costs me nothing. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Here we look and we trail him by the bypass, and there you can mark his trail because there are crutches here and a cane there and a blind eye bandage over there. And there you see discarded robes of beggars. Well, you can trail him easy. Everywhere he goes, he's doing good. That's Emmanuel. That's God. That's the world's Redeemer. He heals. And they shout his praises. He goes with them and he eats with them. And he casts out the devils that torments them. And he keeps on inching his way towards the tree. For he has a date with destiny. And he cannot bring the best gift because the best gift has to be wrapped in blood. And therefore he bleeds along the way. But he saves his blood for the last final act. And the last final act on Calvary will eventually set the world free from sin.
Yes, sir. Amen.
We've behold his humanity when he lay sleeping in the boat. His deity, though, is when he rises and rebukes the wind and the storm, and the tempest sinks into silence at his command. He weeps like a man at Lazarus' tomb, but with godlike voice he breaks the power of death and brings him forth alive. As a man he sits hungry at the well's mouth, but like a god he breaks the few loaves and little fishes and feeds the multitude. Like a man he goes into the mountains for prayer, but like God he walks on the waves of the Sea of Galilee, overtakes his disciples who have gone forth into a ship. Like a man he climbs the mountain, but like God he has transfigured them till he stands there on the crest and his garments glisten whiter than the light. Amen. Oh, he is Emmanuel. The marvelous combination of two natures. Two natures, human and divine. There's a lot of folks today will dispute that. But just Jesus is of both worlds. Spirit begotten, virgin born. Eternal. Spirit did not beget a thing. He beget a person. He did not beget an animal, but a man. The holy, eternal Spirit of God. He did there, right there, what no man else could do. He put life divine into a human frame. God manifested in the flesh. The Word made flesh and dwelt among us. Oh, hallelujah.
Thank God.
I know it's not the kind of Christmas story you like, but this is the story. This is the real story. You want a sign? It's still the babe. That's the sign it was beginning. That was the sign God would finish it. It began with the babe. It finished with the Son giving his life. It starts with a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, not lying in a palace, not sitting on a throne. The babe. Hallelujah. The angel said, you want to see the start of it? You want to get on the groundwork? You want to get right down to where it's all beginning? Go find that babe and then keep your eye on that babe, and you'll find that babe solving the earth's perplexing problem of sin. He come to set the captive free. Hallelujah. No thing so further away from truth as someone to tell you that Jesus wasn't like you. Amen. He did know how you felt. He did know how you suffered. He did know your hunger, your weakness. He did know. And if the devil can confuse that fact, he'll soon rob you of your love for him. When I get down and pray, I don't want no angel to come. Well, that would be mighty and mysterious and wonder. What a testimony. At my prayer, an angel came. But an angel can do me no good. I have to have a Savior. An angel cannot save me. An angel shed not its blood for me. An angel has not that healing touch. An angel cannot understand me. Right. Amen. But Jesus can. Oh, hallelujah. I said, if Jesus can. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. That is the nature of man. And again, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Tempted, aren't we all? Tempted and tried. We're all made to wonder. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
It is through the knowledge of this human kinship, this human kinship that men are enabled to approach and trust in and claim the mercy of Christ. I want to know that Jesus that sees me weeping has wept. The Jesus that is healing my wounds has been wounded. The Jesus that feels my loneliness has been lonely. I want to know that the person I'm praying to understands my groanings and my moanings and the things that I cannot put in words. I want a Savior that's been where I've been and felt what I felt. I want somebody that knows the human side. And Jesus is just that man. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And no man knoweth the Father save the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Look at that, it's locked up. You can go to a father with his collar turned backward. You can go to the priest or the pope. But you can't come to the Father except you come by the Son. Well, you're not helping me preach. It sounds like a lot of just rambling talk, doesn't it? But now I've got you right where the human family is. Only one door, only one way, only one truth. Amen. Now that's narrow-minded. Absolutely. It is intolerably narrow-minded. For the world would love you to say that all religion will eventually lead back to God. It won't. You can't understand God until you've got Jesus, and you can't understand Jesus until God brings him to you. No man can come unto me. No man cometh to the Father but by me. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That is it. Search. You want a sign? See the baby? He's a door. See the baby? He's a fountain. See the baby? He's a sign. See the baby? He's the power of God unto salvation. See the baby? That's the only saving name you'll ever hear. See the baby? He has the key to both walls. See the baby? In his hand is healing power. See the baby? In him, truth, righteousness, holiness has come down into the world. Glory to God. It is by means of this divine Christ who is made like unto his brethren. Like unto his brethren. He didn't come down to be like an angel. He come down to get him a body and a mind and a soul and to bring those chasms that stretched between the infinite holy God and the utterly depraved fallen man, and he intends to be that bridge. There is still a bridge over troubled water. His name is Jesus. There's a bridge from here to there, and his name is Jesus. You see, the thief, I don't know where he came from or how he got on that cross. It's just that he was a thief. But do you know, there on that cross, he saw more of the revelation of what Jesus was than most men did when he was healing the blind and raising the dead.
Yes, sir.
There they both were in pain. Jesus beaten out of proportion. Face twisted, eyes swelled shut, blood on his face, hair gone out of his beard, hands on the cross, bloody, beaten, beyond recognition. And he looked at him. And he looked again. At first, the first look he said, he made fun of him. They both reviled and jeered him. Right. But then, all of a sudden, the blood got erased and a transformation happened. And the thief took another look. And he said, we are here because of what we've done. We deserve what we're getting.
Yep.
And then he turned another time and looked one more time and he said, Lord, he saw lordship on a man in the middle cross. He saw Christmas' greatest gift hanging there bloody, beaten, beyond recognition. Lord, remember me! I know you've got a kingdom. I know you're not from this world. I know you're going to another world. Remember me! makes him equal with the Father and able to save to the uttermost. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I've got more to preach. But we'll save it. I've not got you going nowhere. And there's no need of hope. And now, I've been up here about 30 minutes or more. If you're going to go, you'd already got on board. So I'll just say my Christmas story and be happy myself. Because, oh, I need a Savior.
Amen.
I can get by without the shirts. I can get by without the socks. I can get by without the suits. But I can't get by without a Savior. Amen. I can get by without the turkey or the ham and the bread. I can get by with all that, but I can't get by without a Savior. Oh, the blood, the precious blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, a sinner plunged, and I have been. A sinner plunged beneath the flood, and I've lost all my guilt and stain. Hallelujah! Not one sin, not two sins, but all my sins were washed away by this Savior. Not a few of them, not 50% of them, not 99.9. I'm talking about a washing that makes you whiter than the driven snow. I'm talking about a washing that makes you eligible for the family of God to bring you back to God. I can now look up because the blood has been applied and say, Father, and he says, yes. I now look up and say, Abba, and he said, yes. Now everything is yes and amen because Christ has come, because God has come and been satisfied. The work is done. Hallelujah. You can be healed. Hallelujah. You can be saved. Forsake you. Well, you want a sign? Go back to the babe in the manger. That's all you need. He don't look like much, but he's the man that can lift sin's load off of your shoulder. He's the man that can take you by the hand and take you all the way through and never fail you. Jude said it best, didn't he? He's able to keep you from falling. He is able to keep you from falling. All of us dread that. We plead with God, don't let me fall. Please don't let me fall. But I've got it in writing. He is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless. Woo! What a Savior. Not only does he keep me from falling, but he keeps working on me. Amen. The blood keeps washing me so that when I get to heaven, there will not be any stains, blots, blemish, or any such thing. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus still cleanses. Can I get an amen? I said the blood of Jesus still cleanses. You got a warped mind, the blood can filter out the dirt and keep your sanity. You got a dirty heart? Oh, glory to God. It may be as black as a coal bucket, but the blood can make it whiter than snow. Have you got a temper? You get a new mind and a new dispensation. You get a whole different life. The old has passed away, and behold, all things become new. If you get it just right, the cusser runs off, and the gambler goes that way. He kicks devils out of you right and left until there's not another devil in you. And it would be wonderful if we have a revival like that where God starts kicking devils out. Wouldn't it be wonderful that you didn't have to gossip anymore? You can go back to the babe right there in the manger. He'll sanctify you holy. Stand with me before I break my word and keep on preaching. Hallelujah. This is a sign unto you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Look no further. He's a king. He's just not got his country yet. He's an exile. But one day he'll come as a king and claim his kingdom. And then every knee will bow to this babe. Every tongue will confess to this babe. And there'll be but one name that every tongue will shout. He's Lord.